Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. The Junior League of San Diego is committed to promoting volunteerism and developing the potential of women through the effective action and leadership of trained volunteers. Joining us this morning is Junior League of San Diego President Joni Flaherty and President-elect Emily Green Lake. Welcome, Joni. Welcome, Emily.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks.
I know you have a big event coming up this coming Saturday, the 26th. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, let's talk about the Junior League of San Diego. What it is you do there. How about a little background information?
Sure. The Junior League of San Diego is 90 years young. We are an international organization of women, and our mission is to promote volunteerism, develop the potential of women, and improve our community through the effective action of trained volunteers. So what that means in a nutshell is really we are women who mean business, and we intend to make our community better by doing hands-on service and training and all sorts of programs that are intended to improve the lives of ourselves, our members, and our community.
So it is a member-based organization.
It is. We are about 1,000 members strong, and again, we've been in San Diego since 1929, so we are celebrating our 90th anniversary this year.
And you're part of a, what, international organization?
We are. Our parent organization is the Association of Junior Leagues International. It's really more of a kind of our governing body. And there are 292 chapters of the Junior League internationally. Most of them are in the United States, but we do have a few, Mexico, Canada, and a London League. And we all get together several times a year for different conferences and training opportunities. And it's really great to see the work of women who are doing great things in their community throughout the world.
Where is your office located here in San Diego?
We have our headquarters in the historic Wegeforth House, which is in Bankers Hill, just a couple blocks from the park. And it's a very special home that we actually own and have transformed into our headquarters. And little exciting news that we will be restoring our headquarters actually coming up this summer to make it into a community space for other nonprofits to use. So stay tuned for that. We're really excited to make our headquarters into a really special place for our community, and we love being in the heart of the city right near Bankers Hill.
That's pretty cool that you're going to open it up like that.
It is. We have some space and some opportunities to really serve our community in the best way possible. We're going to have a training kitchen that's going to be equipped with commercial grade appliances so that those at-risk youth that we serve can have a place to learn hands-on skills to transition into independent living. So we're really excited about that, and that's in conjunction with our 90th anniversary this year. So there's a lot of great things going on with the Junior League.
Now, in my intro, I mentioned that you, Emily, are the president-elect. Does that mean, Joni, that you're leaving the organization? What's going on?
I am not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. but I'm honored to pass the reins to Emily in July. We serve one-year presidencies here in the Junior League. So I've been on the board of directors along with Emily for the last several years and looking forward to her tenure starting this summer.
Joni has big shoes to fill.
Now, how long have you been with the organization?
This is my 10th year. I actually joined the Junior League when we were celebrating our 80th anniversary. So it's full circle for me, and I'm looking forward to all the great things that we have planned for the rest of the year.
And what was it about this organization that attracted you? What is it that's different or unique or appealing to you?
I joined for the social aspect. I wanted to meet like-minded women in San Diego who were professionals. I was in law school at the time. I had hoped to meet other women who were non-attorneys or law students. I ended up meeting some who were, who are some of my best friends in the league, but also many who have varying professions and interests. And then I stayed for the community aspect. I stayed in the league because I loved the leadership opportunities and I loved the work that we were doing within San Diego.
And Emily, how long have you been with the Junior League?
I'm in my seventh year as a member of the Junior League. And I was reading a book at the beach one day, and I noticed there was the term Junior League with the J and the L capitalized. So I was curious what it was. So I Googled it, and Google led me straight to the Junior League of San Diego homepage, where I saw all the awesome opportunities that were available to women. And the rest is history. I felt like it was very serendipitous. It was kismet.
Now, the organization is open to all women, right?
Just women, right? Yes. Anyone who identifies as a woman over the age of 21 is welcome to join us. We don't have any age cap. And we really are looking for women who are interested in making their community a better place through the effective action of trained volunteers. And that's what we do. We train our members to go out into the community and really make a difference and hopefully make the difference a difference in the lives of those that we serve and also our community partners who are instrumental to our success.
And you have a lot of community partners, don't you?
We do, yes. I think that the Junior League of San Diego has worked with over 200, 300 organizations in its 90 years. And right now we have about 30 key community partners who work with us. We work together to develop programs. We provide volunteers for them. And we support whatever efforts they're doing in the community because truly nonprofit organizations, especially those who are doing the great work with transition age foster youth and human trafficking survivors, they need as much support as they can get in San Diego, and the Junior League's here to provide that to them.
So let's talk about some of the programs that you do have. One of the main core programs you offer is developing leaders and volunteers. Let's talk about that first.
Sure. So we have some really robust training programs in the Junior League that are open to all of our members and sometimes the public, too. We have what's called our Board Academy, which is a 6-part certification program that trains our members and members of the community to be effective board members, either on public boards, commissions, or nonprofit boards. So you can guarantee that you come out of that 6-part training and you are prepared to sit in a board meeting and know exactly what you're doing, and likely you're going to be one of the most trained people that are at that table. We have other programs. We have a Public Policy Institute. We have a Professional Development Series. Any others, Emily, that I'm missing?
We have our own Toastmasters chapter where our members can practice their public speaking skills in a non-threatening, comfortable environment. That's been really popular. We recently had a conflict resolution training that I know I will use professionally and personally. So there's a great variety that our training council puts together.
The training council, what is this made up of? Who are the people on this council?
These are our volunteer members. So our members first go through a provisional program, which is their new member year. That year, they learn everything head to toe about the Junior League and really learn how to fundraise, how to effectively put on a community project, all of the nuts and bolts of what we do. And then after that first year, our members are assigned and placed onto different committees and councils that really run the league. We're a 100% member-driven organization, so the work that's done by the Junior League is completely done by our volunteers. So one member might be interested in social media or building a resume in order to pursue a marketing career. That woman can handle the social media accounts, the Junior League SD Instagram account, for instance. We have members who are responsible for our training events, members who are responsible for executing fundraisers. Obviously, we have a board of directors and an executive management team, again, all volunteers. And together we work in order to advance the mission of the Junior League.
Your training is a two-part method, right?
That's right.
One is learning by experience, and that's what that is, what you just talked about, right?
That's right, yes.
And then the other is formal training, and you bring in guest speakers for this, right?
We do, yeah. We rely upon paid guest speakers and also volunteers to come in and give us really fantastic trainings on a number of different topics. We also rely heavily on our sustaining members, which are members who have been in the league and kind of graduated, so to speak, from the Junior League after 7 years of active service with the league. And those women are really champions of San Diego and of our community. And they are really excellent repositories of knowledge. And they are the heart of our league and provide a tremendous amount of insight and wisdom to us. And one fact that I love to bring up in our 90th year is National Philanthropy Day happens every year, is put on, and is a wonderful event, usually a luncheon. And they always bestow upon someone the honor of being the Volunteer of the Year that year. And Junior League members have won that award 12 times in the 40-year history of the award. So we have 12 honorees who have been named Volunteer of the Year. So we really are, like I said, movers and shakers in San Diego and are really trying to make for fantastic change, whatever it may be, whatever our focus is at the time.
Now, these formal training sessions, do these happen? Are these ongoing?
They are. So we have different trainings available throughout the year. As Joni mentioned earlier, we have a board academy, and that usually takes place in the fall. And we're getting ready to launch our Public Policy Institute, which is going to be in the winter. And it's a multi-part series. So people don't have to commit to every single one, because each year they can always fill in and make up for whatever they may have missed. So it also is really great because it works with everyone's schedule.
And again, for most of the formal training sessions, you do bring guest speakers in.
We do. We rely upon guest speakers to train our members how to do whatever it is. So Board Academy, for instance, has one training that is all about the finances of nonprofits, nonprofit finance. And so we bring in an expert, usually someone from either BoardSource or a similar organization, who comes in and trains us on profit and loss statements and revenue and how to really effectively manage the finances of a nonprofit. We also often have members of city council, and we've even had recent judges in San Diego who have come in and spoken to us.
So they cover a wide spectrum.
Wide spectrum of issues and a wide spectrum of different topics as well. We recently had our day at City Hall, which is an annual day where our members get to hear from politicians directly and speak to them. So we spoke with three different council members, including Chris Ward and Barbara Bree down at City Council. We were at City Hall. Again, our members, we want to give them a wide variety of men and women who really know what they're talking about and can train us and teach us in whatever that area of expertise is for them.
I can't think of a better way to do it.
Right.
Than that way.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Train the trainer. And then the goal is for us as Junior League members to go out in the community and teach others how to do the work and train them how to be more effective citizens, more effective members of our community.
So the trainees are going out and training others.
Absolutely. We do nonprofit training all the time. We go in and support and help the staff of different nonprofits based on the training that we've received. And we often get accolades because we're very organized. We're diligent women who usually have a pretty strong agenda to make sure that an event or a program is executed flawlessly. So when an organization, for instance, another nonprofit, asks the Junior League to come and help support them by bringing in volunteers, usually we mean business and we get the job done pretty well.
Now, another part of the Junior League of San Diego is advocacy.
Yes.
And according to your website, the Junior League of San Diego is committed to serving the needs of those in the San Diego community through effective legislative and community advocacy efforts. What have you advocated for in the past? What are you working on now?
We advocate for transition-age foster youth in San Diego, which are youth between the ages of about 16 to 24. The definition varies depending on who you're speaking with. But young men and women who are exiting the foster care system who don't have a safety net. So many of us, when we are 18 or graduate high school, we live with mom and dad or a family member, or we still rely on them for certain needs such as groceries or gas. And these foster youth are often turned away from their housing programs. They're turned away from any source of income that they were receiving through the state. So Junior League is here to make up for those differences and also help teach the youth independent living skills so that they can proceed on to adulthood and being able to fend for themselves and become successful citizens in San Diego.
And you partner with other organizations for this as well, nonprofits,
right? We do. We couldn't do it without our community partners, too, because our community partners already have the youth as clients, and they've developed the trust base, which is really necessary to develop relationships with these youth. And then that allows us to come in and do some difficult work and also develop relationships and get to know these youth so we can best help them.
Now, these training programs that we talked about before, are these programs open to transitioning foster youth?
They are, which is really wonderful. Since we started the work with transition age youth, or as we call them, TAE for short, we've actually had some youth that we've worked with who have become members of our organization, which is really the ultimate goal, that we've set such a good example or have done such good work with them that they then want to join our organization and continue to give back to the population.
One great example, we held in November of this year a storytelling workshop. Mark Lovett is a gentleman in San Diego who's affiliated with the TEDx program, which is a wonderful public speaking opportunity for anyone in the community to participate. And Mark came and gave us a workshop on a Saturday morning that we welcomed all of our Junior League members, but also the public, and it made special invitations to transition age foster youth who perhaps had a story to tell. And the whole idea with the workshop was how to tell that story and how to be effective in doing that. And at the end of the workshop, Mark asked a few volunteers to come up and sort of tell their story and get critiques and positive and negative feedback from the group. And several of those who volunteered at the end were our transition age foster youth, kind of graduates, so to speak, who had been working and we had met through Junior League programs, who not only loved the training and appreciated all of Mark's insight, but were able to share their stories. And they really have fantastic stories to tell. And many of them remarkably still work within nonprofit space, whether it's working with children who are at risk in some way, or they are working for one of the nonprofit partners that helped them along the way. But many of these youth, and Emily's worked with so many of them in her past, both professional life and volunteer life. But many of these youth had really wonderful stories to tell, and we were really excited for them to come and join us at the event and hear those stories.
Do you have any statistics, San Diego county-wise or San Diego city-wise, as far as transitioning youth, foster youth?
Sure. Every year, there's over 100 youth who exit the system and then become transition age foster youth, that they are potentially stopping receiving any sort of services that they've really been raised with and become dependent on. So, you know, eventually those hundreds become thousands between, you know, about the 10-year age span that we consider to be in the TAE population. And with that, I think there's something like in the California prison system, over 80% of people who are in the prison system have come from the foster care system as well. So we're really trying to bring those numbers down and equip our youth with just different resources and skills to stop that cycle.
And homelessness is a major problem, too, when it comes to those transitioning youth.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that there's a misconception about homelessness in that people only consider homeless to be out on the street. But a lot of our youth are couch surfing. So there's no security in that sort of housing either, because they're not sure if, you know, the person who owns the home is going to want them there for very long. And so housing insecurity is also a really big problem with our transition age youth.
Another part of your advocacy is human trafficking. And if I'm not mistaken, the FBI has named San Diego as one of the 13 areas with the highest rates of child sex trafficking in the nation. I'm assuming this is partly due maybe to the close proximity to the border.
It is in part, but where we've found our research within the Junior League and with our partners is that the top three places where trafficking occurs is parks, schools, and churches. This is happening in our backyards. And I recently read something where if you have a hotel or a motel in your community, you have human trafficking. And that's something that gives me chills, certainly. Huh. It's very prevalent, much more prevalent than we think. And I read that there are somewhere between 3,500 and 8,000 trafficked children under the age of 18 in San Diego County currently. And that number, of course, is so wide of a range just because it is very difficult to spot. It's very difficult to prosecute. And it's very hard for these victims who are truly victims to get them to come forward or to turn in the men or women who are trafficking them.
How does something like this affect the economy here in San Diego, or does it?
It's our second largest, I believe, underground economy in San Diego, only second to drug trafficking. And I believe I've heard that it's an $800 million effect on our San Diego economy just here in San Diego. A single sex trafficker with just four victims can make upwards of $750,000 here in San Diego. It's a huge problem. It is huge money. And these are our kids that we're talking about. And these are not just runaway children and those who are homeless. This occurs out of foster care homes. It occurs out of homes in your neighborhood and in mine.
Now, part of your advocacy is to raise awareness about this this situation. And you have an event coming up this Saturday. It is your Human Trafficking Awareness Rally. How many years you've been doing this?
This is our sixth annual rally. We're very excited about this year, especially the lineup of speakers who are coming to the rally. It is occurring this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. in Balboa Park. 6th Avenue in Laurel is where we set up shop. You'll get to hear from a ton of speakers, including many that are on the front end of human trafficking efforts in San Diego. Mara Elliott, our city attorney, will be there. Summer Steffen, our district attorney, will be there, and several others. And we're very proud of this event and its growth. Please come out and join us. Bring your families. Bring anyone who you think is interested in this problem in San Diego. Bring your signs or not. We have many to spare. Our members have been working hard on creating a tremendous amount of signs for all those who come. But come and support us and support the great work that's happening in City Hall and elsewhere in San Diego to combat this major problem.
How did the Junior League of San Diego get involved with this?
Actually, we got involved with human trafficking awareness because there's a strong correlation between human trafficking and transition age foster youth. A lot of transition age youth are very vulnerable to traffickers because they're looking for a source of comfort. They might be promised a source of income, a sense of family, and all those things lend themselves to being taken advantage of in the worst way possible. So knowing that our population was so vulnerable to human trafficking, we decided to get involved with that, let our youth become aware of what could potentially be happening to them, and making the community aware of what's going on in their own backyard.
And if I'm not mistaken, people can learn when they come to the rally from your speakers, they can learn to recognize signs of those being held captive.
Yes,
which I think
absolutely,
is pretty important.
And learn how to report human trafficking if they see it. There is a national human trafficking hotline, and there are signs. And in fact, a lot of the legislation that's occurring right now, and our advocacy team and our state public affairs committee is working very hard on sponsoring legislation and supporting legislation that works on training those who are likely to see trafficking victims, hotel workers, motel workers, airline employees, are all people who should know and learn how to spot signs of human trafficking.
How can somebody become a member of your organization?
Join us. We'd love to have you. We have informational days that occur throughout the spring. Our first one, I believe, is in about 6 weeks. And you can learn all about it at jlsd.org, Junior League of San Diego, jlsd.org. We'd love to have you join. Our new member class starts in August of each year, and applications are rolling beginning in May. However, we have had wait lists for the last 5 years for our provisional class. So please make sure that you sign up on that first day, because it is a first-come, first-served basis. And again, we'd love to have you join us, whether you're interested in supporting our community projects or our fundraisers, you're interested in donating to our capital campaign to restore our headquarters. There are lots of ways where you can join and support the Junior League, and we'd love to have you.
You do have other events throughout the year, right?
We do. We have two major fundraisers. We have a gala in the fall and a food and wine festival, which is held in La Jolla Cove each year. This year, that will be held on May 11th. And a number of other community projects throughout the year, both with our partners and separately. April 18th is Brand of Brothers. It's a, can you describe Brand of Brothers real quick, Emily?
Sure. Brand of Brothers is an opportunity for our young Tay men to come and basically do a lot of shopping, get a haircut from a barber, and also learn resources that are available from legal advice, I guess.
Legal support.
Yeah, legal support. And then also just different resources, from getting a driver's license and an ID card to getting a job. In recent years, we've actually had different companies come and recruit people for work there. So it's a really awesome opportunity to come get some new clothes and also potentially get a job.
It's nice. Basically a one-stop shop fair for our transition age youth who are men. And we really love this program and are looking to expand it. And in fact, this year we have the support of Sempra Energy behind Brand of Brothers. And so we're really excited about that.
Now, you're again, your human trafficking awareness rally this Saturday. What time again?
This Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Join us, the corner of 6th and Laurel. You'll see us. We have a number of speakers who are involved really on the front end of human trafficking prevention and prosecution in San Diego County. We're really excited. You'll see us there again this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. Balboa Park. And we really look forward to having you join us. And marching along after we hear from some great speakers around Balboa Park to gain awareness regarding the human trafficking epidemic in San Diego.
And info about this is at your website?
It is, jlsd.org. You can find lots of info there or find us on social media at Junior League of San Diego or Instagram at Junior League SD.
All right. And we have information as well posted to the community events page of this station's website.
Thank
so
you,
people
Gary.
Can get that info there as well.
Thank you so much.
Joni and Emily. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for all you do in the community at the Junior League of San Diego. It's appreciated.
Thank you for having
our
us.
Pleasure.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on the station's website. Join me next week when my guests will be from the American Heart Association. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.